May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Well, here we are in the Sermon on the Mount, a primer for discipleship, if ever there was one. And today's reading asks two fundamental questions. Who are we? And what are we to do? Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, isn't just teaching his disciples how to act. He's teaching his disciples how to be the kind of people who put their whole selves into following him. And we have to figure out who we are in the light of the gospel before we can discern what to do. So Jesus gives us a couple of hints. He says to us, "You are salt. You are all light." Now, Matthew's community within which he wrote this gospel that we're reading this year is analogous to much of our experience as Christians today. Matthew lived in a time of religious and social tension following the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, and the Jewish community, including these first Christians, the Jewish community was in conflict regarding the future of Judaism and what it meant to be Jewish. And we're in sort of a similar situation right now as we move from the era of Christendom, when Christianity is the overriding and overwhelming religious expression in our part of the world. We're moving from that to a place where, in some ways, the temple has been torn down. So we're trying to figure out what it means to be Christian in a society that is questioning former values and practices. And we ask ourselves, do we follow a way of love? What does that mean? Does it mean that we are called to welcome and affirm all of those who come to us wanting to know and love God? These are big questions. In the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes it clear that he comes to bless those whom the world would just as soon forget. Those who are poor, either literally or poor in spirit. The meek, the persecuted, those who mourn. Being salt and light can be difficult, but that's what happens when the light of Christ shines in us and through us. The light brings knowledge of God's particular care for the poor and the sick and the prisoners. Jesus says, don't hide that light. Let it shine on a hill. And as he so often does, Jesus is speaking from his Jewish tradition. Can you hear the echoes of Isaiah's shout out? Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Observe the fast that I want, God says. The fast that results in injustice. It results in justice. Want to make sure I didn't get that combined too closely. So we're just getting started on the Sermon on the Mount. This is where the rubber hits the road. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll hear Jesus give us marching orders. He says, if you're forced to go 1 mile, walk another mile for the sake of someone else. Don't just love and pray for the people that, that you like. Love and pray for the people who persecute you. Jesus says, you are all salt. Now, what does salt do? It gives flavor and it purifies. So when it's giving flavor, it's really good. When it's purifying, sometimes it stings. Jesus says, you are all light. And light is good because it helps us see where we're going. But sometimes it reveals something that we might not want to see. You see, Jesus knows that our default setting as human beings is to settle into comfortable conformity with the world as we encounter it. It's so easy just to sit back and say, you know, the world is a mess. The world is a mess. What can we do to make any difference? There's so much that needs to be changed. But apparently, Jesus intends that we live as though we believe we can make a difference in the kind of world we live in. Apparently, being a disciple of Jesus, rather than merely an admirer, means letting the Holy Spirit strengthen our will to action beyond our default settings. Being a disciple means letting the Holy Spirit stretch our imaginations to see the possibilities that lie beyond doing what we've always done in the way that we've always done it. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus lets us know in no uncertain terms that he expects a certain faithfulness that rises above comfortable conformity with a dark, bland world of selfish concerns. Just taking care of our own doesn't cut it. Jesus has called us to go to all, everyone, to be salt and light. And it is big. It's overwhelming. But there's good news. I was reading just this morning a sermon that was written by Fleming Rutledge, who was one of the first women to be ordained to the priesthood in the Episcopal Church. And she's a renowned theologian. And she wrote this, and I just had to fit it in. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, not only for your country and the people who are essentially like yourself, but also for the 2/3 of the world of suffering other who don't look like you, then you are ready to enlist in the Lord's resistance. It may sound too grand or large for you. You may think that someone else can do it for you and should. It may be that you think there's no role for the small deed, the little contribution, the quiet gesture. Never, never think that. The big stuff has already been done by the Lord of heaven and earth. So the big stuff is taken care of, and we can do our part, no matter how small. When he calls us to be salt and light, Jesus has in mind a shining destination for those who are poor, for those who mourn, for the meek, for the oppressed, for the peacemakers. And that shining destination is nothing less than the kingdom of heaven, which has come near to us in the person of Jesus. Being a disciple requires the strength that comes only from being willing to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. And I have to ask, would you be willing to ask the Holy Spirit to stretch your imagination to envision ways that we could use this holy space that we've been given care of? Would you be willing to imagine new and different ways to use this place as a home for new outreach or new mission here in Clemson? As we move into 2020, the year that was the target of so much dreaming and visioning in the last decade, there are many changes happening right now in this place that we've been given. By this time next year, our physical space out there and in here will be transformed. And now we have important questions to ask ourselves in order to prepare for the next 10 or 20 or 50 years. How do we partner with God in ways that enable diversity, giving things color and texture, and nurture a healthy, eco-friendly world? How do we, the parish of Holy Trinity, share the flavor and the light of Christ in a way that we are agents of restoring and repairing our corner of the universe to right relationship with God? Are we willing to live as though we believe we can make a difference in the kind of world we live in? Are we able to be salt and light? And if we're able, how will we do that? Holy Trinity sits in the middle of a community that has great needs and that has great opportunities for us to be salt and light. And I believe we're called to imagine ways that reach beyond what we've always done to find new ways to interact with the community. Trinity Place offers new and exciting opportunities to minister with students and to welcome the community and to reach out beyond our holy hill. We're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. And we're here to be light, bringing out all the glorious rainbow of the God colors in the world. How do we engage with others in the world, especially those who haven't had the opportunity to taste the God flavors and to see the God colors that make our world so beautiful? How will we be salt and light in an age of bitterness and darkness? In the spirit of Fleming Rutledge's assurance that all of our ministry here matters, and knowing that Jesus has already done the heavy lifting, let's dare to be salty salt and brilliant rainbow light, so that the whole world can taste and see that indeed the Lord is good.